What a service. What a church. What an honor to be here with you today. To witness lives being changed. And to worship Jesus, the one who does it all. The one who is worthy all the praise and all the worship. It's Him we're here for. But really honored to be here you are blessed to have some of the most amazing pastors in this house. And we had a first-hand experience. We were in the room in Malaysia when they were there to teach thousands of pastors and leaders that were being equipped by the Word of God. So we want to thank you, church, for releasing your pastors to be a blessing across the globe. I really, really believe in training and encouraging pastors and leaders. And we were encouraged, we were trained, we were equipped, and many, many others were as well. And thank you for releasing that. Thank you for making it possible. You know, please pray for your pastors. They're doing such an important job here, but also around the world. And what they do around the world, you are part of, because you're part of this house, you're sending them, and God is doing great things. I think of the future. What's coming is much greater than what has been. And there are thousands and thousands of churches that will be blessed through this house and what God is doing here. And in those houses, in those churches, there will be thousands of people changed. So glory to God for what He does. And thank you for being faithful, standing firm, preaching the Word of God and being great examples. Me and my wife, Paulina, we're honored to be here. We love you already. Hey, Chicago is great. We're falling in love, not only with this church, but in your city. Praise God, it's great. It gave us the most American experience. We arrived, we got treated with a great pickup, beautiful car, and within 50 meters, the police pulled the car over. And these officers walked up to the car real carefully with their hands on their guns. And I was looking at him on the left side, and I saw another guy on the right side, and then he knocked on the window, and my driver held on to his steering wheel, and then he opened the door carefully, and then they looked in, they opened the door next to my wife, looked in, and then they said, oh, sorry, wrong car, and then they closed and walked over. Woo! Our driver said it was the first time ever he was pulled over, and then he recommended us to go to Giordano's, right? Is that what you call it? And we had amazing Chicago pizza. Come on! We're so blessed. Anyway, it was a bit scary. But we said to each other, wow, this is like Hollywood, honey. Actually, my wife is the most brave human being I know. No one believes her when she tells that she's a very shy personality, and as a kid she was very shy. Her motto is dare to say hi. So she overcomes fear and she loves people. And people think about bravery and courage in different ways, and sometimes we mix it up and we think about, you know, going on roller coasters or jumping off airplanes and parachuting and being an adrenaline junkie. My wife is completely the opposite. Like, she's the most risk-aware person I know. She is life jackets on, helmets on when you bicycle, safety belts in the car. And when you are about to cross the street, you look five times first and then you pray in tongues as you walk over. The thing is about being courageous, it's not about not being afraid, but it's about not letting your fears stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. So today my theme, title for my message today is A Love That Conquers All Fears. I want to read a few Bible verses. I base this title from 1 John 4:18, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, that's not my love, that's not your love, it is God's love. It is God's love who casts out fear. It's not about us loving God, it's about Him loving us. I want to read a passage from the Bible. Let's stand up together as we read the Word of God. And I believe God is going to speak to us through His Word. A love that conquers all fear. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank You for Your great love. We thank You for sending Jesus Christ, Your only Son, to die for our sins and our shame and our hurts and our pain. Thank You, Father. Thank You for loving us when we were not lovable. Thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit into our hearts to change us and make us a new creation. Thank You for the hope that You've given to us, that no matter what happens in life, no matter what we go through, Your love is greater and more powerful than any force in the universe. Thank You, Lord, that as we gather around Your Word today, You will speak to us. And as You speak Your Word, You also pour out without measure Your Spirit. So we pray that as Your Word goes into our hearts, that Your Spirit would come and breathe on us and change us and do what only You can do, so that You would be glorified in our lives. Lord, we pray for salvation miracles, for healing miracles, for deliverance, for freedom, for callings and activation of Your body. In Jesus Christ, we pray. In His name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, have a seat. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. You know, the first thing that God says to mankind in the Bible, when we read, the first time the Word of God is spoken so that man can hear, God speaks, it says, He blessed them. In Genesis, it says, He blessed them. You know, God's heart for you, first and foremost, His Word for you, His plan for you, is to bless you. He loves you. He believes in you. You are created because He loved you. Even before you came into this earth, God had an idea of you, and He loved that idea so much, and that's why you are here. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And it is the love of God. That is our message. That is our life. That is what has changed our life. We're not here to tell you about how we love God. We are here to tell you about how much God loves you and how much God loves me, how much God loves us. And that is the love that casts out fear, that breaks the yoke of fear and slavery and anything that can hold you back in life. The power of the Holy Spirit is in this room, and He is the love of God, in person and in presence right now in this room as we speak the Word of God. Thank You, Jesus. I remember many years ago, we were pretty newly married. Me and my wife, we had encountered the love of God. We had encountered this great grace, knowing that even though we had messed up so many times, we grew up in a Christian family. My parents-in-law, they were Sunday school teachers. My parents, they were missionaries. I grew up partly in Asia and partly in Sweden. And we were always in church on Sundays. But still, you know, there are things in your life where all of us struggling with. And Satan tries to destroy us and sin corrupts us. But the grace and the love of God is greater than any of your shame or any of your shortcomings, right? And so when we discovered this love of God, me and my wife, we came to the point that we said, we want to live so that others would encounter and hear about this love of God. And we heard about people that were living on the other side of the world that had never, ever heard once about that God loves them so much that he sent Jesus to die for their sins. And when we realized that there are people that have never had the chance to be free from that shame, to be free from that pain, to be healed to their hearts, and to be placed in God's family simply because no one told them about this love. We were challenged, and we started dreaming about going to places where no one had heard, and we heard about this area called the Caucasus region in the southern part of Russia. You know, you have Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, just north of Iran and Turkey. And then you have the Russian border. And in the mountains there, where Mount Ararat once stranded, in those mountains, there are more than 40, 50 different people groups, language groups, that didn't have a single church. They didn't have a Bible part in their own language. And they didn't have any known Christians. So when we heard about this, me and my wife, we said, we want to go there. The reason why they hadn't heard is because it was a very risky area. There were conflicts going on, multiple conflicts, and it's been going on for years and years and years. And at that time, the Chechen War was going on. Chechnya tried to make themselves independent from Russia. But when we said, there's great risk, but we had made the decision, no matter what the risk, we have to tell them about God's love. And so we gathered there. I went to my parents-in-law with my wife, their beautiful garden in Sweden. It was in the spring or June, and beautiful flowers, peonies, you know, roses. You know, it's a beautiful time, and we always have great coffee and tea together, and we're chatting. And we were there to tell them that we know, and we have calculated the cost, and we tried to tell them, you know, where we are going. We have decided to go to this region to help a church, the only church that is on the border of this region. We want to go there and we want to serve the pastor there. We want to help him. And when we told her, and you know, we started coming in on talking about the risks, my mother-in-law, she's kind of like, nah, let's not talk about that. She didn't say that, but she's an expert. She has a gift from, I don't know where from, but a gift to change the subject. And so she changed the subject all the time, you know. She was utilizing that gift, stewarding it well. And so we came from there. We were encouraged by the great fellowship and beautiful time. But we also said, how are we going to tell her? And a few weeks later, we moved to the region. And when we were there, we had the prompting that we have to tell her. So we sent her a letter. At that time, we sent her a letter. Paulina wrote a letter by hand. That's what we felt. We had to write it by hand. And we told that this region, this people, we cannot hinder or stop them from hearing the good news simply because we love our comfort more than their eternal hope, their eternal life. And these people will go lost forever if they don't hear about Jesus. And so we had made the decision to follow and obey God, and we wrote that, and Paulina wrote beautiful and, you know, a lot of Bible verses and say, Mom and Dad, whatever happens, we know that God will take care of us, and if we die, we meet on the other side, and so on and so on. You know, you don't want your kids to write that kind of letter. So I understand my mother-in-law now, as we also have kids, but it was something important for us, and it shows for us, we were young, maybe naive, but there is a conviction that comes with the love of God that changes your priorities, that changes how you live your life. The love of God is not just a fuzzy feeling of a beautiful service or a beautiful atmosphere in church. It is something that is spelled out grittily with the love, with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the definition of love, the sacrificial love that Jesus did for us so that we can be saved. So we wrote this and we went. A few weeks later, after sending this letter, we were on our way home from a youth group where we had taught the Word of God. And on our way home, a man walked up with a gun, put the gun to my back, pretending to be a police, and he, you know, pushed us into a car, drove off with us. We had hoods over our head, put handcuffs and tape to keep us stuck in the car, and we had a gun to our head, and they drove off into the forest, changed cars, and we were eventually trafficked over the border into Chechnya, where there was a ceasefire in the war, but we walked over war-torn no man's land at night. And what we didn't know as we walked there, we thought maybe we'll die tonight, but we didn't know that we would be for 165 days or 5.5 months stuck in a basement dungeon in Chechnya for this time. And as we arrived there, we came into a room. It was not bigger than that I could touch the walls with my hands, and it was a few steps. It was a dirt floor, cement walls, and there was a big iron door with a big iron lock on the outside. And as they closed that iron door, we were stuck. There was a small light bulb in the ceiling, but sometimes it was on, but many times because of the conflict and the lack of electricity, it was pitch dark. And when it was pitch dark, you couldn't even see your hand. But as we are there, we started making marks on the wall, because we've seen in movies that's how, you know, when you're in prison, that's what you do. So we did that to kind of keep trying to keep track of what's going on. But there were three things I want to share with you that really helped us to connect with the love of God, because the truth is that God loves every one of us equally so much. He loves us so much. But sometimes we miss out on God's love because maybe we didn't hear about it. Maybe we don't understand what God has given us, how we can connect. And the first thing for us, as we came into this dungeon, we were reminded of something that our pastor had taught us in church. Hey, it's important you go to church and you listen to your pastor, because you never know when you need that word. But our pastor had taught us during worship that as Paul and Silas was put into prison, the Bible says, they praised God when they were in the dark dungeon. And as they praised God, God sent an earthquake and they were delivered. So we remember that and we started praising God. So the first thing I want to encourage you is, whatever you're going through, never lose your praise. Keep on praising God, church. I loved as we were praising God here. And it is easy when you have a fantastic worship band like this, when you have hundreds of others praising God together with you, it's easy. But no matter where you came from this week, maybe you're going through a really tough season, remember, you don't need the worship band. You can praise God wherever you are, and there is power in that praise. Because we were stuck in a dungeon underground in a war-torn Chechnya, but our hearts were in heaven, in freedom and in worship, because of the power of praise. You know, as we praise God, things change in the atmosphere. If we praise God, our perspectives are changed. God is never changed. Our feelings can change, and we can be in a bad place emotionally. But when you praise God as a sacrifice of praise, worship Him no matter how you feel, God is constant. God is always good, always kind, always full of mercy. As you praise Him, things start to change. And so we praised God. You know, there are certain things you cannot do when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we cannot win the lost. And when we get to heaven, we cannot praise God in our pain, because there is no pain. We will praise God with no pain. Hallelujah. But right here in this season where you're at right now, you can do certain things that honor God in a different way that no angels can. And you can praise God when it's hurting, when you're confused, when you don't see a way out, when you think you're about the thing's going to collapse around you. You praise God, and it's a worship unto Him, because He is worthy. He is worthy. And His love never changes. Our world is corrupt and broken, and we are part of that. But God is so good and so holy and so pure. And as you praise God, you shift your focus to who He is. The second thing that we learned, and I know that this is a house of prayer. It's an honor to be on this platform and preach. This is a place where we believe that God does what only He can do. And prayer is a key. When you start to seek God and pray out your needs, your worries, your cares, your fears, and you bring it to prayer with praise. You pray to God, you worship Him, and as you pray, things change. You have a purpose, even though maybe you are bedridden at home, you can still pray, and you can so be part of the kingdom of God's, you know, forwarding and reaching those who are not yet reached. You can be part of it. Come on. I believe God is calling people here today to come into a new level of praise and prayer, because there are such great things ahead. So you need to take it in prayer first. Amen. And the third thing, important thing, is the promises of God. We had a Bible when we were kidnapped. And we could read the Word of God. We can be encouraged by the Word of God. But there's something about the promises of God. And when the first, as we were starting to praise God when we first were kidnapped, I was reminded by a birthday card my sister had written to me some days before we were kidnapped. I had a birthday and she had sent a card, and usually she writes really nicely, but she had scribbled in a corner Isaiah 51 and some verses there. And I didn't remember what it said, but the Holy Spirit reminded me as I praised God, as I worshiped God, as I prayed, the Holy Spirit reminds us. And so He reminded me of the reference. And so I took the Bible and I opened the Bible. And when we came to verse 14 or 15, see, I don't remember now, but I remember then. It says, the covering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. You know, for us, this is like, there's one verse in the Bible like this. This was the verse that God gave to us. We held on to it like God sending a lifeline to us. And when you get one lifeline, it's enough. When you start to take that in your praise and in your prayers, and you know, soon we'll be set free. We will not die in their dungeon, nor will we lack bread. Come on. This is the promises of God. And what are the promises that God has given to you in your struggle? Find them. They are there in the Word of God, when you read the Word of God. And so we were reading the Bible. And as some days came, it was really pitch dark. And we couldn't even see, you know, nothing. And then when you're in 2, 3, 4 days in pitch darkness, your mind starts to play with you. And there are all different lies that come in. And it's weird. And so once we got the light again, we realized we have to memorize Bible passages. So me and Paulina, we took turns reading Bible and memorizing scripture. And then when the lights went out, Paulina would recite scriptures to me. And it would keep my mind on the right track. We wouldn't let the lies seep in, but the truth come and set us free. And so then when we took turns and we encouraged each other with the Word of God. That's what we can do. Church, we can encourage one another. Whatever struggle there is, encourage with the Word of God. One of the verses, one of the chapters that we memorized while we were kidnapped is Psalm 91. It's a famous psalm about protection. And, you know, we're resting in God's presence and we'll be protected, etc., etc. But there's one verse for me became of significance. And this verse, verse 14 and 15, it says, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Hallelujah. God is so good. But you know, sometimes I think that there's almost like two camps in Christianity. One camp is like Emmanuel camp, and the other is like Jesus camp. You know, these two names was given by the angel to give to Jesus when he was born. Emmanuel, God is with us, and Jesus, the one who saves us. The truth is, it says that he will be with us in trouble. God's love is with us in the struggle. So while you are waiting for the salvation, for deliverance, God is still there. God is doing things in you that are maybe more important than your deliverance. Are you with me? So we believe that both are true. God is with us in the trouble, and God will deliver us. God's love is in the struggle, and God's love will be in salvation. Amen? So I believe that today, maybe you're in the struggle and you're hopeless. It shouldn't be hopeless. God is with you. He is the hope of the world. And He will deliver you. He will protect you. He will take you out of. Don't lose hope, but be encouraged by His presence, the love of God. You know, there are so many stories we can tell you of miracles that God did for us while we were kidnapped. We were, of course, struggling with, you know, doubts and fears and all these things. I was crying, so there was a pool in the mud of tears of desperation as the beatings got worse, especially in the end of my time. It's not so much the physical thing of being beaten and hurt and kicked, but it was what happens to your soul when you know you don't know if you're going to be beaten up tonight or not, and that uncertainty, and it kind of started getting into my heart, and it was hard for me to read the Bible at certain points because fears would come in. But there was one psalm, and there were some songs I would recite. I would sit and I would sing to myself, and I would declare that no matter what happens, but you know, after a few months, you get weary and tired. But at the right time, God knows our limits. And I felt like I came to the point where I said, God, this is really... And then I just felt the peace of God come upon me. He said, the beatings are over. And for a few days, no beatings. And a few days later, our freedom started approaching. And we were, you know, it's an amazing story. These were Chechen, Islamic rebels with long beards, shaved heads, all different kinds of weapons, and they would later, some of them would form the military leadership of ISIS, and these people were hard-hearted, and they would, you know, they were trained not to make a relational connection with us, and we tried in different ways, and they would stop it. And but there was one guy who would say sometimes when he gave us the water or the bread and the soup that we could make of small things, when he gave it, sometimes he would say, Skora budit damoy, inshallah. It's Russian for soon you will be set free, if it's God's will. And for us, that was just a reminder of what God had said. It was just a confirmation. Like he's asking what if it's the will of God. Like we have the word of God. We don't need to wonder. We know. So every time he said that, it became a reminder of the word of God. God's love is there. He's speaking to us. And it's God's love that sustained us. And eventually, it was a big ransom, but God has paid our ransom. We could have never paid anything, but God pays our ransom. When we're stuck in sin, when we're stuck in the dungeon of shame and guilt, addictions that we cannot break in our own strength, God, in His love, so loved us that He sent His Son, Jesus, who suffered and sacrificed Himself so that you can be free. He paid the ransom for you and for me. And we got a new chance. Praise God. Me and my wife, we came out of there. We had to wear sunglasses when we came out because we hadn't seen the sunlight for so many days. Because the future is so great, we have to wear sunglasses. That's what we usually say. So bright future ahead. God gave us a new chance to live we were so grateful. God gave us four kids as we were pioneering a new church in Sweden after we were released. Four beautiful children. We love them so much. And after a few years, 7 years later, this is from the This is our youngest is 18 now, so they look a little bit more mature. But this was when we moved, when God called us again to go to the nations and to take that step of responding to the calling of God. When God calls us, we know that God's love is so great that we cannot not trust. Are you with me? You cannot not trust, because God has showed how much He loved us while giving His Son Jesus for us. That whatever He calls us to do, we know that His intentions for us are the best. He loves us. He cares for us. But He has a plan for our lives that is bigger than ourselves and our own comfort. And so when we came to that point, I had to meet with my parents-in-law and talk to them again that we're going out into missions. It was a little bit, you know, it happened last time. But we're going to Bangkok, and they were a little bit skeptical, you know, why going there? And it's all this and this. But God calls, and when you go on God's calling, you will never be poorer by obeying God. It's always a win. And no matter what happens, when you're in obedience to God and when you walk in trusting God, no matter what happens, it's a win. Even though we would have died in that dungeon, it would still be a win because we're going to heaven. Amen? Amen? So 7 years later, we moved to Bangkok, not knowing anyone, not knowing anything, and we started reaching out to people. Now, I don't have the pictures from the early beginning, but now it's our team doing the work, reaching out to kids. But this is the first, some of the first believers that we met on the uni campus, and they had never heard about Jesus before. And when they could hear about the love of God, they started to receive. They were deeply spiritual. Many of them came from Buddhist backgrounds, a Muslim background, or different backgrounds. But they were crying out in prayer, but they didn't know who they were praying to. And we can tell them about God's love and how God breaks all shame and sin and power of hell over their lives. And they started seeing miraculous answers to prayers, healings, deliverance, and so on. And so they started sharing with others. And now by the glory of God, there are 3 churches, 1 in Cambodia, in Siem Reap, and 2 in Bangkok. And they're all led by local leaders. We have more than 2,500 people baptized through the years. We have handed out 8,800 and counting follow-up pamphlets. People that have never heard about Jesus that got to hear about the good news. What an honor, what a grace it is to be able to extend what Christ did on the cross to someone that have yet to be impacted. And I'm calling you today, church, that God is calling you. And it's not a calling to be, you know, casual Christianity. The era of casual Christianity is over. Now God is calling us to understand that the love of God is greater than our comfort. That the love of God is about sacrifice. And to follow Jesus is to follow Him. To take up our cross and follow Him. And there are always great rewards, but we don't follow Him because of the rewards. We follow Him because of reverence, because of respect of the price and the love that He poured out for us on the cross. And so we know that if God, Almighty Father, Creator of heaven and earth, loves us so much and wants so much, so many good things for us, that He even gave His one and only Son, how can we even doubt? How can we hold back? Of course, we still struggle, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have one Bible verse. No, before I read the Bible, I just want to tell you that when you take a step of walk, you'll set things in motion. When you take a step of faith, it's your life. You just keep on doing what God has called you to do. Listen, in this era, we look at all these social media and we follow all these Christian influencers doing a great job, but we can be confused and we can think that being a servant of God, following Jesus is about influence, it's about fame, it's about, you know, being applauded. But in the Bible, we don't find that. We find disciples who followed, and almost all of them died a martyr's death. But they changed nations, and they changed the trajectory of the entire world because they went, because they spoke, because they gave their lives. So we are here today praising God because of His love. What God is calling you to is not for fame, but it's to be faithful. When no one else sees what you're doing, when you are suffering for Him, that's praise and worship that you cannot do once we come to eternity, but you can do it here. faithfully walking. And it's a beautiful aroma in your loving Father's presence. Amen. So as we walked step by step, we saw lives being changed. And right now, today, as we are here, people are being saved in Bangkok and changed. In Cambodia, we've started a drug rehabilitation, a work at the police drug rehabilitation detention center. We started a program to help young people, and we've seen so many young street children that were detained by the police, but they also got to hear the good news. And almost every day of the week, people are responding to the gospel, and we've seen more than 400 young people, mainly men, young men, giving their hearts to Jesus through baptism, seeing their lives being changed. But this is what God, when God starts things, when you're taking one small step of obedience, God can start a chain reaction of God's love, multiplying wherever you go. Romans 5:5 talks about the Holy Spirit. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God is not a concept of words. It is His presence. It's Him. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's God's Holy Spirit that can be with every believer. And Jesus called to the people in John 7. He says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come to me and drink. And I will give them living water. They will flow out of them." It will flow out. There's an overflow of God's love in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is in this room. And He is calling people not to live just for their own sake, but to take on their cross and to say, "All right, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God because He loves me so much." Listen, it's not by power or might, not by your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is poured out. The Holy Spirit is poured out, not just to tickle the believers with a nice emotional experience, but to equip us, to empower us, and to make us overflow with the fruits of the Spirit and the love of God, with supernatural signs and wonders following as we walk in obedience, boldly declaring God's love to a broken and hurting world. God is calling people in this room today to come to the loving Father's arms, to let go of all fear that holds you back, to let go of the temptations of this world, to declare that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Because you are walking into deliverance. You are walking into freedom. And we walk with reverence. We walk with respect of that love of Jesus Christ poured out on the cross and the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts.